we did today, Justin came in. He's been having panic attacks. And God showed me the four stages of the enemy really destroying people with fear or panic attack. And the first stage is fright. And fright is a counterfeit of the suddenly of the Holy Spirit coming on you. Fright is a spirit from outside of you that attacks you. It's a suddenly, it's a counterfeit suddenly. And it produces fear, where God suddenly is going to produce faith like that. Wow. We need to start praying for a suddenly. You need to start praying for a suddenly for your kids. You know, you think about it. I start praying for a suddenly for John, and he got one last year. We need to start praying for a suddenly. I'm praying for a suddenly for my boys. After Mitchell said some things and he just wants to, he said, I'm going to go to the Caribbean. I said, the Caribbean, they've got all kinds of poverty and stuff. I mean, that's not it. Unless you got the money to live in the resorts, you know. And then he's like, you know, so he's just, you know, they're just kids struggling with how do you handle this? A kid in a school that people he knows just died for no reason at all. And the Bible's very clear. In the last days, people were going to die just from fear. That's in the Bible. It's not going to get better. It's going to get so bad. You have to hang on to that secret place revelation that 1,000 can fall to your side. But what do you do if your kids don't even know there is a secret place, even when you try to tell them? Start praying for a suddenly. Not fright, because fright will produce the paranoia. What happens, you have fright. Then what fright does, I'm not saying this is like any, you know, law. This is what Lord just put on my heart when I was studying this morning, and we set a lot of people free today. After fright, it sets off an alarm. So that's a demon in your brain saying, oh, it's horrible. There's no hope. What do you do? It's a panic, you know. So the spirit of panic, that it sets off an alarm. And that's where the Holy Spirit would have discernment. Like you discern something's wrong, and then he makes a way of escape for you. And then after that panic, which the word panic actually comes from the name of a Greek god called Pan, who was about sudden, horrible terror. It's a very strong spirit of fear in the Greek belief in the past that this was a god whose purpose was to bring fear to you. So we want to break the power of the spirit of Pam. Whoa. Ha. But the panic, by the time you get to panic, it actually is a demon that takes over in your body. And it causes your heart to beat fast. And people hate that feeling so much that they, you know, medicate. You're losing your sound mind. By the time it gets to a place to manifest in your body, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, which means Satan wants to give us a spirit of fear. But what has God given us? Love. So what's Satan going to try to give us? Hate? Love, power, what? The power of God to not fall into the traps of the enemy. The power of God to not be destroyed by the enemy and a sound mind. The more we've been doing inner healing deliverance, the more I'm realizing Satan is after the soundness of your mind. And then after he gets from the panic attack, he gets into a place of paranoia. Is that how you say it? I mean paranoid. And paranoia is disillusion. It's illusion. You all of a sudden, your reality is not real anymore. It's you think people are watching you. You think people are talking about you. You have lost your sound mind. When Satan gets you into disillusion because of fright that sends forth an alarm that causes so much fear and anxiety that your whole body responds chemically and heartbeat and everything else, which is also going to be really bad for you, blood pressure-wise, heart condition-wise, you know, everything like that is throwing you off. Satan has such control there, and that's going to lead to paranoia that will cause you to really have lost your mind, at least when that thing is in charge and eventually could take your mind. And this is, you know, the cool thing is, like, when Justin came to talk to me, called me last night, he said, man, this is happening and happening and happening. He said, I don't believe it. As soon as I start talking to somebody about it, it goes away. It's so irrational. He said, but it's still bugging me that it can jump on me and make this stuff happen in my body. And so when he was telling me, as I started praying, seeing this, I started seeing it in my, that's what's been trying to bug me since last Tuesday night. Since that Tuesday night when God says we're going to do this outreach, you know, everything that I flipped through the news is about something murder related. And, you know, it's like, Lord, forgive me. It's not entertaining. I don't even want to watch the news. Unless God tells you to watch the news for praying purposes, you probably shouldn't even watch the news. But you don't want to pretend the enemy's not really doing the stuff the Bible says he's doing. But also this thing happened and other things have come up. And it's really weird. I've just felt outside of me something trying. Last Friday night, Alyssa and Justin went home. Their house had been broken into. You know, and I think somebody else I heard, house got broken into, where a house got broken into. So anyway, it's just been all this stuff. And so you're like, oh Lord, you know. And so I was so excited when Justin came and said this morning, because I thought, ah, this is it. It's amazing to me how God is working in so many people on the same thing around here. Such unity. How many have had that kind of thing happening? Just, you know, maybe haven't given to it, used to have it a long time ago, but aren't having it, but it's just trying to get to you. I mean, even, oh, the other thing happened is the people who robbed me got out of jail already. You know, and I'm praying for them. And if they even come in our neighborhood, they're supposed to get 19 years in prison, but the enemy uses that in the dog. Of course, John goes out of town this week and the dogs bark all night and everything. And truthfully, I don't even care. And I've had these crazy dreams, but they're not from God because they're not strong enough to remember it all. And my spirit man is so strong that they can't make me afraid. And they're almost just like fuzzy, you know, the devil can't get them in close like he wants. But every one of them has something to do with the Philippines and the thing we're going to do here and being trying to make me afraid. And so it was so cool when Justin came in and we saw this, because in my past, I was so paranoid, you guys. I mean, this comes through our family line. I was so paranoid that when my husband would, and when we lived in Maryland, if my husband walked out of the house, you would never, ever, ever find my door unlocked, day or night, never. You could never sneak in with it unlocked. It was locked the minute somebody went out of it. And I checked it, and it stayed locked. Oh my gosh, that's not the case now. No one would have ever believed. You know why? Do you know why Satan, one reason he targeted me to be, make me paranoid, to make me afraid, to try to make me racist? Because somehow I think God still brags about all of us and what we're going to do for him. And if anybody had ever thought, if somebody had told me that God was going to do this kind of ministry both here and in the Philippines, using me, I'd absolutely thought they were crazy. Isn't God cool? But I'm now letting the devil and his tactics try to steal from me what God has for me to do for his glory and his purposes and because of his great love. So I began to even pray last night, even before Justin came this morning and this thing got broken and I saw what was trying to happen. I prayed last night because last night I had, do you know what I'm talking about when you get that creepy feeling? And you can't sleep and you kind of wake up and you're like, what is this? And you don't, it was nothing tangible that you could say, get out of my house or do this or do this. It's just like, what is this? And you try to go back to sleep because it's not, so you read the Bible. So I'm like, Lord, and my thing is, Lord, don't let me miss you. Don't let me miss you. If you're trying to warn me, if you want me to do something, I'll do it. But I don't want to be led by this fear thing. And so I was praying this stuff. And then I just began to worship the Lord last night. And, you know, he just told me, Cindy, I'll take care of you. I promise you. You know, not one hair will fall from your head. You know, I'm going to take care of your building, everything. I want you to do this for me. And he just said, you know, when you go to the Philippines, you just don't even have fear because you know that you know that you know that you know you're in the center of his will. And Lord's like, I want you to know that you know. We didn't buy this building because it was the only one we could afford. How do I know that? Because we couldn't afford this one either. I mean, $200 in the bank. We couldn't even afford it one in the East End. I mean, there's no way. We couldn't afford any building. So that this man suggests that he financed it, that we're sitting here, that it's so nice, that there's such peace. This is a God thing. This is not a selfish ambition thing. It's about scared. Any demon that was left hanging out in me a few years ago has been scared away by me having to deal with believing for the finances for this place. You know, and Karen and I had a, I can't remember, she had a dream or I had a dream. God spoke to me, I think, and gave her a dream or something. And after we had broke through that wall of finances, and we really broke through it. First few years here, first year here, it was rough. But I remember I was going over that bridge. And did you have the dream? You had the dream about going over the bridge. And the Lord had talked to me about it. And as she was going over that bridge, why didn't you tell that? Get, if you remember it, get the microphone.
We were driving to come here to this building. We were coming up over that, the over,
Her and Thad, I think.
Yeah, Thad and I. And when we got down, it was like all of a sudden we're in a New York City. And when we came down the end of it, it was like New York City. And I couldn't find the turn to come in here. All of a sudden we were in these back alleys where we knew we really shouldn't be, but we kind of felt like we were doing what we were supposed to do. So we were, you know, fine about it, but you could tell there was a lot going on around, you know what I mean? It didn't seem like a safe place, but we just felt like it was supposed to, where we were supposed to be. So.
And she had that dream the same night that the Lord began to tell me the next enemy that you're going to, the next stronghold you're going to break is a stronghold of fear about violence. And I'm going to set you free. And at the time I thought, I don't know, Lord, you know, whew, how, you know, it just seems so scary to me. And I'm not even saying I'm on the whole other side of this. And let me say this. Let me say this. You know, Marion, when she came up with the thing about oppressor, was powerful. That was a powerful revelation. And for us to be able to sit here in the real presence of God, talking about something as tense as racism and fear, as the whole world, or not the whole world, the whole nation is kind of playing around with that right now. A lot of them don't even have a clue what they're talking about. In that area, anyway, it's kind of amazing that we're doing this. And some things that I really recognize and respect. It is very, and speaking especially with some of the people who've been part of Beauty for Ashes for years, especially, it has to be very difficult to be a law-abiding African American Christian who loves God, and to grow up. And see, and I'm not just saying racism, to see what the enemy has done in a whole culture that reflects badly on the however many, 75-80% that are just trying to have a good life. Do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, gosh, Lord, we can't pretend that it doesn't matter. It is about, and I asked the Lord this one thing, and this is pretty cool. So we may do this deliverance tonight, especially any African American people who want this. The difference with Africans being here versus Mexicans. Okay, you want to know what the difference is? The Mexicans have gone out of their way, and the Cubans, to get in here. They ran to America. African Americans are the only people group who feel like they were brought here, not wanting to come. But the truth is, God orders our steps, and God knew you were going to know him. So God got you right where you're supposed to be. So you have to break that lie, but that is a strong spirit of, I don't really belong here. And if someone is somewhere where they don't belong, it's going to have a lot of anger and a lot of confusion and a lot of you know, this whole secrecy thing that's being broken loose with this Pastor Wright stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we all have to get to a place above it and not in fake. We have to deal with our fears both ways. Like Marion had to deal with her fear because of what she saw with the KKK. You know, we have to deal with our fears because of what we've seen I have people beat up in front of me because they were white, you know, and we've been dealing with that. But I don't think we realized, even when we dealt with that last year, that we're dealing with this for a purpose that's much bigger than us. Now, we all know it's going to take a supernatural move of God. Do you know what I'm saying? A supernatural move of God to bring something this big down, not this little church and our talking. But if we can bring it down in our own lives for real, get God's kind of love for real, then I believe the warfare that we're going to start doing on Friday nights and the things we're going to start believing. See, you think, well, I don't really care that much about that. Well, you ought to, because if you want your children not to have violence instilled in their hearts, no matter what color they are, you need to get all of it out of your heart, but you also need to pray it out of our society. Because every time you're doing something that God wants you to do for his children anywhere, you're going to reap that for your children. And anytime you don't care about what God cares about because you think it isn't touching you, you will be amazed how much it will come back and bite you. And so we want to ask God, Lord, change our hearts. Give us this and his way to do it. But you got to be honest about some of this stuff. Actually, you'll be honest about everything or it's all fake. Satan has picked up on the word change. And he's trying to jump out there and cause something to shift where he's in charge before the church rises up. The cool thing is, when you hear this guy's vision, it doesn't matter what the devil's up to. God's got something really awesome on the horizon.